So if I'm recommending a cancer treatment to you, for example, I have to tell you why I'm recommending it, the pros and the cons, the likelihood that it will work, what will happen if you do nothing. So you have all that information to go away and make a decision. If I'm selling juicing or I'm selling supplements online, I can say no one's ever died, this will work.
Another challenge comes from people misusing the title of doctor or nurse online. This can make their misleading claims seem more reliable to users and patients.
At the very bottom, there may be a medical disclaimer because I can't give medical advice because I'm not a doctor, but people don't really see that. I can say anything and I can create that hope and that promise of a cure that me as a doctor can't.
Kate Shemarani cannot work as a registered nurse, as she was struck off by the Nursing and Midwifery Council in 2021 for spreading misinformation. She still brands herself as natural nurse and uses the title of general nurse. For Liz, social media influencers misusing medical credentials has serious consequences.
It's false advertising. It's misleading. It's not being honest. We know that anyone calling themselves a doctor suddenly has that level of standing. You trust doctors and nurses.
The Department of Health recently announced new legislation that will make it a criminal offence in future for anyone without the proper qualifications and registration to call themselves a nurse. And Liz says that preparing patients for what they might encounter on social media is increasingly important.
I think we need to digitally signpost patients to accurate sources of information and say, I'd like to know why you think the juicing retreat will help. What have they told you it's going to do? And then say, well, let me just send you to another couple of websites where you can double check that information because I don't want you to be misled.
It's hard to know whether these kinds of changes would have made a difference to Paloma's story. And ultimately, I can't speak to her to hear exactly what she'd want to say. Gabriel thinks a lot about what he would say to his twin sister now, if he could.
I'll just tell her I miss her. I'll tell her about the life I've been living since. The life I've been living in her honour. And yeah, I don't know, probably just all the stuff that was missed, all the inside jokes we can no longer make with each other.
And her former boyfriend, Anda, also grieves not just Paloma, but her future and his too.
Paloma was the love of my life. She was my person. She was my first serious relationship, my first real love. In the most literal sense, I mean, she was brilliant. Everything she touched turned to gold, you know, dedicated and driven and happy and organized. And man, it made me want to just give her the world. I could, you know, I wanted to spend my life with her. And that was just, you know, I feel as though that was taken away from me.
An inquest is due to happen to establish the circumstances surrounding Paloma's death. The coroner can also make recommendations if they think it could prevent future deaths.
I don't want it to happen to anyone else. You know, I've been really angry at times and I catch myself. I'm not like an angry or a confrontational person, really, and it's quite out of character for me, but I get so angry sometimes. I want justice.
This is echoed by Paloma's brother, Sebastian.
My sister has passed away as a direct consequence of my mum's actions and beliefs. And I don't want anyone else to go through the same pain or loss that I have.
Kate Shemarani disputes this and blames the NHS for Paloma's death. A case like this is complex. It's tricky to know what, if anything, could have changed the decisions Paloma made and could have ultimately saved her life. For Sebastian, this is bigger than what happened to his sister.
There are individual consequences and then there are society-wide consequences. I know that in the grand scheme of things, one life is not that big. But it was my sister's life. And it matters to me, and it matters to my brother, and it matters to Anda, and it matters to everyone else who knew her. But if that doesn't prompt change, then the society-wide consequences should. What people like my mum do, when they all work together online and sometimes in person to sow lack of trust, is that it decreases our collective immune system, if you like, as a society, to respond to collective issues. And there are lots of places and people out there in the world that would like our society to be weaker.
From the testimony I've heard, the evidence I've analysed and unpicked, the messages the social media feeds, Paloma's case embodies the very real consequences of anti-medicine ideas entering the mainstream. Kay Shemarani and other conspiracy theory influencers are using social media to push harmful anti-medicine messages. That's leaving some people at risk of serious harm. And it's not just them. It affects all of us. Because the emboldening and, to some extent, normalisation of misinformation undermines the social cohesion we all rely on. Not just when we're ill, but throughout our lives. If society can't get to grips with the very real-world impact of the conspiracy land that some social media companies have turbocharged, it could soon become a reality we all inhabit. I didn't get the chance to ever speak to Paloma, but I want to finish this series focusing on who she was. Here's her friend, Chantelle.
She was like so much more than dying of cancer due to this ideology, and I think we kind of focus on that a lot, but I think people need to not forget, like, she was like an incredible sister, like an incredible best friend, an incredible girlfriend, and such an incredible person. And I just hope that people with this story don't forget that, because I think it's so easy to focus on that, but focusing on her is something that I hope people continue to do, you know, throughout the rest of our lives.
I'm David Runciman, and from BBC Radio 4, this is Post-War.
From the cradle to the grave, they said.
80 years on, we're telling the story of the 1945 election and the creation of post-war Britain.
There must be a revolution in our way of living.
This is the Britain that many of us grew up in, and which still shapes an idea of who we think we are.
Even Winston Churchill thrown out. All right, he may have won the war, but he is going to win the peace.
Post-war with me, David Runciman. Listen on BBC Sounds.
Can we have the Britain we desire?